Proverbs 31:16 provides a model for investing. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. I am Rob West. That, of course, is a reference to the excellent wife. With great intention, she chooses an investment that benefits her and others. Today, I'll talk with Cole Pearson about how we can all be excellent investors. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, today we're excited about welcoming Cole Pearson for the first time. Cole is president of investment solutions at One Ascent, which is actually a family of companies that fill an important space in values-based investing. Cole, it's a great privilege to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Rob. It's my honor and privilege to be with you.
Cole, I'm interested in the name One Ascent, which is actually written out as one word. I'd love for you to give us just a sense of what the meaning of the word is.
Great question. It is unique, but the name One Ascent comes from John chapter 3, actually, verses 13 through 15 were a passage that were really important to our leadership team over the years. And when Jesus is encountering Nicodemus, he says that no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended, the Son of Man. And so just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So with all that we do at One Ascent, we want to be lifting up the Son of Man, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
I like that. Well, obviously, the organization was built on Scripture. I'd love to know, is there a particular passage that really motivates you as you try to fulfill your mission there at One Ascent to provide values-based investment opportunities?
Sure. There's several, but one that I'll point out here would be maybe Ephesians 2:10. That's certainly one of those kind of cornerstone passages for us, where it talks about we are God's workmanship. And you're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk. And so you mentioned One Ascent being a family of companies. Really what we're trying to do is help everyone, whether they be an investor or an advisor, find that 2:10 calling on their life and walk into it and integrate financial wisdom into that as well. So Ephesians 2:10 would be one that I'd point to.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, let's apply that to investing. I think in many ways, investing perhaps has become divorced from its true purpose, that is to supply capital to great businesses, making a meaningful impact in the world. Would you agree with that?
I would. And we use this terminology a lot. And what's gotten lost is that investing is ultimately about ownership.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about modern investing today, we have these publicly traded companies, which are very large. And so it can be hard to really know what all that company is involved in or doing. And we use mutual funds and ETFs and investment products that themselves are kind of like a black box. And so just the structure of our industry has sort of been part of that disconnect. And so if we're trying to find great businesses, supplying capital to those businesses, that's gotten harder and harder to do.
Yeah, well, it's exciting to see what's happening in this space as the whole area of faith-based investing is really growing and maturing to the place where believers now have real options if they want to align their values with their investments. You mentioned a moment ago that One Ascent is actually four different companies, and we've got just a minute till our first break. Perhaps you can begin by sharing just a few of those.
That's right. One Ascent is a family of companies that all do different things, but in the areas of aligning faith and finance. So One Ascent Wealth actually serves the end client, whether that be an individual, a family, a business owner. We believe that we all have a deep desire to not only to live well, but to finish well. And so our advisors help those families, those clients integrate their planning, investments, giving, legacy, those things to that end. But we also have a part of One Ascent that's for the advisor. There are a number of advisors out there who want to partner or be a part of a group who's doing that, who's allowing them the freedom and the solutions to integrate what God is calling them to as they serve their clients. So One Ascent Wealth serves the client. One Ascent Financial actually serves the advisor. And the last two companies at One Ascent are actually where I personally spend most of my time. These businesses are strictly asset manager, money manager, where we build out comprehensive values-based solutions to help investors live aligned with what they value most, whether that's in the public markets, through One Ascent Investments, or One Ascent Capital in the private markets.
Well, a lot to cover today as we talk about investing in a way that aligns with your values. What makes up a good investment? And can you avoid companies that are misaligned? How do you do that? Well, we'll talk about that and much more with Cole Pearson today. He's president of Investment Solutions at One Ascent, an underwriter of this program. We're going to take a quick break. Back with much more after this. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Every Christmas season, which is right about now, my wife and I read through the book of Isaiah. I like to call it the Gospel according to Isaiah. If there were five Gospels, this would be number five. It tells us over and over again about the coming Savior and suffering servant as Isaiah describes him. And seeing Christ is nearly impossible. Despised and rejected, he has carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. By his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53 doesn't just tell us the Savior is coming. It shows what would happen. Our hearts leap as we hear about our Savior. He came, he suffered, he rose again. The gospel keeps us safe. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Bishop E.W. Jackson is on a mission.
Some people are just embarrassed to be Americans. That's a big problem. I mean, I've heard people say that. They're embarrassed to be Americans. I'm not embarrassed to be American. I love my country. I'm thankful to God that I'm an American. I'm thankful to God to live in this land of freedom and opportunity and hope. And I'm fighting to make sure that that never changes.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson, every weekday at noon Central on AFR, or catch the podcast at AFR.net.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Cole Pearson, president of Investment Solutions at One Ascent and underwriter of this program. One Ascent is a family of companies that fill an important space in values-based investing. Cole, just before the break, we were talking about the true purpose of investing to supply capital to great businesses making a meaningful impact in the world. In some cases, though, investors want to actually eliminate companies that are misaligned with their values from their portfolios. I know you and your team have some technology that helps you do that. This is a fascinating new area in investing that's now possible. And I'd love for you just to help our listeners understand how that works.
Sure. You know, when we think about eliminating companies, what we're really trying to say is, how do we get those out of the way so that we can invest in the things that we do align with? And so that's our ultimate goal, is to elevate those companies that are helping the people and the places around them flourish. But as you said, Rob, the first step in that process is to eliminate companies that are causing harm. Unfortunately, what we've found is that investors are often unaware of the companies they own, but also the impact or the harm that those companies may be causing. even if they are aware, they might not feel like they can do anything about it. So that's where our technology and repeatable processes come in, helping kind of uncover and identify where there may be misalignment or where there already is alignment. So when it comes to eliminating and elevating companies, what we're focused on primarily is a business's products and their processes. So think about what they make and how they make it. And so our proprietary technology aggregates data from world-class providers, and we have our own internal analyst research team. Now, we're really trying to do two things. Number one, we want to identify businesses out of step with our clients' values. And number two, look for investment opportunities that might deepen or further that alignment. So our technology is free to use. If anyone would like to know where their current portfolio stands, we'd love to take a look at that and show you where that might be for you.
Interesting. Could you provide some examples of that, either a product or a process to create the product that might be misaligned with a believer's values?
Sure. For us, that could be things that cause harm. So we think of a business model where the product itself is causing harm. So that could be things like abortion or pornography, gambling, tobacco, to name a few. It also could be things where maybe the way the business operates is causing harm. Predatory lending, for example, where the business model is preying upon the end customer. Those are simply types of business, models of business that we believe we would not like to align with, and many of our clients would like to avoid as well.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Cole, you say there's really four things necessary for a good investment, and the first is filling a need. Talk about what you mean there.
Sure. So when we think back to really to Genesis, right? Genesis 2, God put us in the garden to work it and to keep it. And that's when business kind of came into being, the idea of keeping watch over the good things that God has made and working for their flourishment. So we want to invest in businesses that do this too. We know that we're in a broken and fallen world. And so there's more needs than we can count, right? But a sustainable business is meeting a need, a true need of a customer that can continue to sustain. It's worth pointing out, though, that these needs don't have to be the most exciting new technology or a cure for cancer. Those are great and wonderful things. Those are needs that need to be met, and we love investing there. But just thinking about business and meeting needs, I was impacted by several just ordinary businesses this morning, just coming to work, right? I had to get in my car. Someone had to make. Someone had to assemble. There were many, many pieces and parts that had to get made as well. I drove on a paved road to get to my office, and someone had to go out and procure the raw materials. Business touches our lives in all kinds of ways. It can be as exciting as a cure for cancer, as simple as a well-paved road. The point here is that when we think about a good investment, that business has to be meeting and filling true needs, you know, of its customers.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But then in order to stay in business, it needs a sustainable profit. I know that's the second element of a good investment. What does that look like?
Sure. This part's pretty straightforward. You know, right? Without margin, there is no mission. So when we think about a good investment, we're employing a long-term view, thinking about the business, the company, the macro environment, the business cycle. And part of understanding the fundamentals of a business, as well as where they are in their own corporate life cycle, is central to building a good portfolio. So that's part of our checklist. That's step two of identifying a good investment.
All right, so we've got filling a need, a sustainable profit. What would be the third element of a good investment?
Well, for the investor, the third element is a positive return. The business itself has to be profitable, right? There needs to be enough excess profit or income that can be provided back to the investor. So a lot of folks don't necessarily think about that, but that actually is a biblical principle as well. You know, as stewards of God's assets, it's vital that we invest wisely. And so a common concern about values-based or faith-based investing is that it's just language, it's just words, and we're masking something. You know, for us, you know, we want to make no mistake. We're not afraid to make money for ourselves and for our clients. We believe that aligning God's principles and seeking world-class returns are not mutually exclusive. As believers, we need to remember that the world did not create excellence. God did. And so in all that we do, including our investments, we work heartily as unto Him. And it's okay to have a positive profit in that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that, of course, I think resonates with everyone. The fourth element, though, of a good investment perhaps is one that we'll resonate with, but maybe we didn't see it there initially. And that is, you say, for an investment to be good, it really must bless mankind. Talk about that and perhaps even share a few examples.
Sure. When we think of mankind, we also think about kind of the people and the places, you know, that God has built and that business touches. So like I said earlier, our desire ultimately is to elevate companies, you know, who are helping the people and places around them flourish. But to do that, we first have to eliminate those who aren't. There are entire industries of companies who may be meeting a need, right? That first step, it has to be filling a need. And so we mentioned abortion and pornography, gambling, tobacco, just to name a few. There's clearly customer demand. But by meeting those needs, those so-called needs, those businesses are actually causing harm. They may be preying upon their own customers. They're exploiting and through addictive business models. So on the flip side, when we're thinking about what makes a good investment here, when the need is met, it needs to bless mankind. So just to give you an example, there's a company that we're invested in who uses virtual reality, VR, to teach English as a second language. And what's interesting is they found that by transforming the traditional classroom into an immersive task-based learning environment and through virtual reality, it actually increases retention by 250% and enjoyability by 150%.
Wow.
The fun of that, right? And so
yeah.
For this particular company, Facebook, who's now known as Meta, has actually tapped this particular company to be the provider of language learning on their platform.
Wow.
And so not only is the company meeting real needs in the marketplace, that's step one, right? But it's bringing blessing to its customers in a unique way. This company is also allowing missionary training centers around the world to train up and send out missionaries into the field by helping them learn that language faster and enjoy doing so. And we think God is a God of joy and fun. So that's why we get so excited about really the power of investing and helping faithful stewards connect in a meaningful way their deepest core values.
I love it. Well, Cole, unfortunately, we're just about out of time. How can folks learn more?
Sure. On our website, I would say, is the first place at investments.oneascent.com. You can read more about our team, our process, and we'd love to connect with you there.
Sounds great. Cole, great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Cole Pearson, President of Investment Solutions at One Ascent, an underwriter of this program. That website again, investments.oneascent.com. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, I'm Rob West, host of MoneyWise. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions now on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Hey, coming up a little later in the broadcast, we'll take one of your emails. This one came to us recently from David. He's wondering, how do I get my kids to move out on their own? He's got some kids in their 20s that are in the basement wondering, how can we encourage them to move along to what God has for them next? Well, I'll weigh in on that a little later in the program. Questions at moneywise.org is the place to send your email if you want it read on the air. We try to get as many of them on the air as we can, and we'd love to hear from you again. Questions at moneywise.org. All right, we'll be taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. Whatever is on your mind, we'd love to hear from you again. 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Illinois. Joan, you're going to be our first caller today. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My husband died a few years ago, and he took care of all our finances. Mm-hmm. And I have a question. What is the difference between a credit union and a bank, and which is the safest one to keep my money in?
Yes, there really is very little difference. The only difference in terms of safety would be you're probably familiar with the term FDIC, which is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. This is basically federal insurance for banks that gives you the backing of the full faith and credit of the United States government. The equivalent of that for credit unions is called the NCUA, which is basically very similar. It's the National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund, and that guarantees money in a credit union, and that is also backed with the full faith and credit of the United States government. So I think from a safety standpoint, as long as you're in a credit union that has NCUA insurance, and they all should, that you would be working with, or a bank with FDIC insurance, you've got that peace of mind to know that you're protected in terms of the failure of the bank. Now, if your account was compromised, you need to understand from your bank if somebody, let's say, fraudulently removed account information because they impersonated you with fraudulent checks or some sort of electronic breach. There's a process where you would notify them that that's happened, and you could probably sign an affidavit that would have to be notarized, and they would restore those funds. The key is to report that on a timely basis. But in terms of the safety of the institution itself, Joan, failing, that's where really for a bank or a credit union, you've got this federal backing that should give you some peace of mind. So at that point, I think then it's just a matter of choosing the institution that meets your needs. Do you want a brick and mortar bank or credit union that you can walk into and look somebody in the face? Or are you comfortable doing business online? Because if you use an online bank, you could get a better interest rate, let's say. So you might be able to get a high yield savings account with FDIC insurance, but instead of, you know, paying a fraction of 1%, you could earn more than 2% a year without any fees for the account itself if you're willing to use an online bank and sacrifice the ability to walk in. So I think that's really the decision-making process you need to go through. But tell me what questions or thoughts you have.
Well, I've had different people mention that they're concerned about the the safety of the banks compared to the credit unions. And that's why I called.
Yeah, I would not worry about that in terms of the safety. You've still got the federal backing. If the concern is, what if the financial institution fails? That's where the government will step in and insure those deposits. And you have the same protection with a bank that you do with a credit union, again, through the insurance that's provided through either the FDIC or the NCUA. So from my standpoint, there is no difference in the level of safety there, Joan.
All right. That's what I wondered, because I had some who were very concerned about the banks, and this is my only income, because when my husband died, my income stopped.
I see.
My savings is there, and I have to be sure I have to have it.
Yes, ma'am. Let me do this. I'd like to send you a gift, just our way of saying thanks for being a part of the program. Our good friends Miriam Neff and Valerie Neff Hogan are a daughter and mother who have a ministry serving widows called Widow Connection. You'll find them on the web at widowconnection.com. The book that they wrote recently is called Wise Women Managing Money, Expert Advice on Debt, Wealth, Budgeting, and More. And I'd love to send that along just as our way of saying thanks for being on to the program. And I think you might find some valuable insight there as you explore the chapters in that book. So, Joan, if you'll stay on the line, we'll get your information and get that right out to you. Again, it's called Wise Women Managing Money from Miriam Neff and Valerie Neff Hogan. Thanks for your call today. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind. We'll get you on the air quickly, and if you'd prefer to be on anonymously, we can do that as well. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head to New York. Marie, thank you for calling. You're next on the program. Go ahead.
Yes. My name is Marie, and we live in New York State. I'm 79, going on 80, and my husband's 84. We live in a cabin up on a hill that's very isolated. Yeah. My former husband's family, that I took care of his family and him, and he died of esophageal cancer. But then I remarried my husband now, and we've had... When we have winter here, it's very isolated. It's 400 and some feet off the road.
Wow.
And it's on a hill. It's a very small cabin. And we try to look for a place in the winter when it gets real harsh, because our electric and our phones go out. And so we're looking for a little place where we can just rent for the winter.
Yes.
Sometimes when it gets so harsh. And he did find a place... South Glens Falls, and sad to say, the person that rented to him never had the hot water on, and he rented it on August 15th, and it was supposed to go for a year, so it hasn't had any hot water since.
Oh my goodness, yeah, that's a problem. Let's do this. I apologize for interrupting, Marie. I've got to take a quick break, but I want you to finish your question, and then I want to give you my thoughts, so you stay right there, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, mm-hmm. but this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. You see, folks, God owns it all. Therefore, we're stewards or managers of the King's resources, and money then becomes a tool. Yeah, we want to put it in its proper context. It's a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and we want to look to Scripture for the guidance, the wisdom, the big themes and ideas and principles that we can apply to our everyday financial decisions, recognizing that the way we work out our money decisions is one of the most visible evidences of where we've placed our trust, what God is doing in our life, and how we want to align our values with our spending decisions. You realize every spending decision is ultimately a spiritual decision. Now, we should enjoy what God's given us, and we should provide for our families, but we should also hold it loosely, not make it our self-worth equal to our net worth, and we should certainly look for opportunities to give generously as well. Well, that's what we talk about each day on this program. The question is, what's on your mind today? What questions do you have about your financial life, and how can we help you apply biblical wisdom? We'd love to hear from you today. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head back to the phones. Just before the break, we were talking to Marie in the Adirondacks. She and her husband in their 70s and 80s have lived in this small cabin 400 feet from the road up in the mountains. It gets really unlivable in the winter, because they frequently lose electricity and other basic services. So they've rented a small place in town that can provide some of that respite during the winter months. But it sounds like, Marie, your landlord has not been willing to provide basic services. Is it the hot water specifically that's been going out? Is that right?
Yes, I found out that the hot water is not necessary. It's considered not necessary in buildings and codes. I've called the attorney general, but he doesn't deal with that, and different people. But also, I want to say that I'm a former Larry Burkett listener.
Oh, wow.
And I used to listen to Christian radio all the time, and Larry Burkett and his wisdom that he gave. I was a widow with three boys that were very small at the time. And so I'm familiar with Larry Burkett and all his teachings and stuff.
That's
and
great.
I still listen to MoneyWise all the time. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, Marie, and thank you for mentioning Larry. You know, there's not a week that goes by. Larry passed away in 2003, and there's not a week that goes by that somebody doesn't mention Larry and the impact that he had on their lives. It's amazing. You know, his kind heart, his approach, his biblical focus is something that is so inspiring to me as I walk in the shoes of giants, Larry Burkett and Howard Dayton, in continuing this program. And Larry continues to make an incredible impact on so many through the work that he did so many years ago. So I appreciate you calling that out. It's interesting that you mention about the Attorney General, because the Attorney General's website has information about what you can do. Have you been to that site? Because my understanding is that they really require a livable, safe, and sanitary home. And I would say a failure to provide essential services, including hot water, would be a breach of that warranty of habitability. But obviously, that's not what
when
you're
I called,
hearing.
Oh,
go
when
ahead.
I called, they said that they don't relate to any problems with apartments and stuff like that.
I see. Okay.
I didn't actually talk to them.
I see. Okay, very good. Well, I would certainly reach out and see if you can get somebody on the phone. The bottom line is, I think you need to give the landlord a firm deadline to get these necessary repairs to make this habitable for you. Clearly, you all need hot water and a safe environment. Have you started looking for an alternate place to rent, Marie, that might provide?
No, I've got cancer. I've got a mass on my kidney.
Oh,
and several problems on both hips.
Yeah.
And my husband has trouble getting around. We've decided to probably stay in the cabin for now. Mm. And my husband had a bad fall while he was in that apartment. It wasn't at the apartment, but he caught his foot on cement. He fell real hard on his head. He didn't break it with his hands.
Wow.
He broke it with a bad concussion right on his forehead between the two eyes. It cracked the bone on the eye and the bone in the sinus and caused a lot of bleeding. His left eye was really beat up and bleeding. The eyeball wasn't affected, thank God. And the nose was really beat up.
Mm.
And he looked like a monster, actually. We went to Albany Med, but because of the crowd there, he stayed in the emergency room for two days, and I stayed with him. And I'm a former nurse, so I took care of him.
Okay.
But
do you all have, Marie, I'm so sorry to hear about that. Do you all have a church that you're a part of, a community?
Yes, I do, but it's a very small church, and most of our people are older and have problems.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think the key is, do you have access to the internet by chance?
Yes.
Okay. I would go to your Attorney General's website. They do have information on there about what you can do in a situation like this, and it's different from what you heard. You also have grounds to break this lease for the landlord's failure to provide essential services. So I think perhaps reaching out to the church, seeing if there's somebody who'd be willing to walk alongside you all, just as a ministry of the church, both to make sure you have a safe place, because I certainly don't want you all to stay in the cabin if it's unsafe from it's not heated, and, you know, you all could be putting yourselves in danger. We don't want that. But also somebody could help you find perhaps an alternate place to go that you could rent there in town. And keep us posted on that. Boy, I know this is difficult. Let me pray for you as well. Father, we just lift Marie and her husband up to you. Lord, faithful servants of you. And we just ask that, first of all, you would bring a healing touch to their bodies, just based on the medical conditions that have been described here. I pray that you'd give them wisdom, that you'd bring alongside them a community of believers that would help them navigate this, that you would provide that place that would be safe for them to live, that the landlord would respond as needed to provide these essential services, Lord, and that you'd just be near to them. Thank you that we can trust you and that you love them far more than we can ever imagine, and we leave them in your hands, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Marie, thank you so much for calling today. I would love to hear how this turns out, and I would go back to the Attorney General's website. I'd also reach out to your church and see if you can find some folks that might be willing to help you all out, especially this time of year. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's take an email before we take our next break from David. He writes, how do I get my kids to move out on their own? They dropped out of school. Now they're in their 20s. I told them that they stayed in school, they could live at home, but they had to help out with the utilities and pay rent. That didn't work out. They can't afford to move out, and I can't support them forever. What would you do? Well, here's the bottom line, David. I think we need to exercise some tough love here. First of all, they're not living up to the agreement. They're neither in school or working. They're not contributing to your household expenses. So that tough love, I think, is going to have to involve you giving them a deadline for either getting back in school or paying you the agreed upon monthly amount, or they'll have to move out, and then you've got to stick to it. You know, as parents, we want to help our children and keep them from experiencing hardship, but here's the reality. Sometimes a little hardship is necessary for growth, and it will cause them to be, in a position where they're going to have to take ownership for themselves. If you continue to provide a place for them to live rent-free, where maybe some cooking's being done and some laundry, well, why would they ever have any incentive to move out? So I think you've got to give them a deadline. If you want to help, maybe you take some money and say, listen, if you all will save for that down payment on that first, last, and security, I'll match it. But get tough and give them a deadline. We'll be right back.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment today, we've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You want to talk about your spending plan, your long-term savings, maybe it's debt reduction or giving, whatever it might be. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Another email today. This one comes to us from Frank. He wrote in at questions@moneywise.org and said, should I spend any extra money that I get to pay down debt or save for retirement? And Frank, it's a great question. It really is about priority uses of the funds. And you know, these are both great opportunities. Yes, we want to pay down debt. Yes, we want to save for retirement. So how did we decide which comes first? And here's, I think, something for you to realize. Number one, if you use the money to pay down debt, you're guaranteed a return equal to the interest rate you're paying. That's guaranteed. So it's probably best to pay off the debt first using the snowball method, which just simply means you'd line up, in this case, let's say their credit card, smallest to largest balance, pay the minimums on all of them, go back to your budget, try to eliminate as much spending as possible to free up as much margin as you can, and then apply all of that excess you have in a month to the account with the smallest balance. Let's get that one knocked out so that you can move on to the next. That encouragement and momentum you get from paying off that first one in full has been shown in many studies that will give you the incentive to keep going right down the line, which is why we ignore the interest rates in this process. And then as you move down through the rest of them, once you get those high interest credit cards paid off, now we need to focus on fully funding that emergency fund up to 3 months' expenses. Beyond that, it would be an opportunity to start to look for retirement savings. And I would start with any matching that you might have in a company-sponsored plan. Let's try to get at least that covered. And as you're able to, let's increase that up to 10 to 15% of your income to make sure that you're putting enough aside to have the assets you need to supplement retirement or supplement Social Security in retirement. So I think the short answer is, if it's high interest debt, Frank, let's focus on that first, then retirement. If we're just talking about a mortgage and let's say a car payment that's built into your budget, I would say let's just pay those on the scheduled track and let's go ahead and start retirement first, just because we want to take advantage of the compounding effect over a long period of time for as long as we can. Thanks for writing to us today. Again, if you have a question, send it along at questions@moneywise.org. All right, back to the phones we go to Tennessee. Hey, Gloria, thank you for calling. Go right ahead. Hi, Gloria, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. Go right ahead.
I heard you mention a book. I didn't catch all of it, Wise Women and Money.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you give me information about how to get that book?
I can do better than that. I'll make sure you get a copy of it, Gloria. It's called Wise Women Managing Money. It's from our good friends Miriam Neff and Valerie Neff Hogan. They run a ministry called Widow Connection. Miriam Neff is a widow and really had a heart for coming alongside other widows, especially in this area of finance, because so many, their husbands handled the finances in the family, and they're kind of picking up the pieces after their husband's passing. And so that's really where this was birthed, and provide just a tremendous number of resources and Bible studies and insights to widows. But this particular book, which is expert advice on debt, wealth, budgeting, and a whole lot more, I think will be a real encouragement to you. So, Gloria, you stay on the line. We'll get your information, and I'll get one of these out to you, okay? All right. God bless you. Thanks for calling today. To Houston, Texas, we go. Raj, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. I do have a 401k plans from my previous employers.
Yes.
Now, I'm just wondering, because the market is almost down for about like 30%, I'm just wondering, is this the right time to roll them to IRAs? Or do you want me to wait?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think the key is I like moving old 401ks into IRAs. It's going to give you more investment options. It's going to give you more control over how you want it managed, the fees that you pay. So there's a lot more flexibility there inside the IRA versus the 401k that you have now. I think the key is we don't want to stay out of the market very long. So if you do go ahead and roll it out, I would have a plan to get it invested right away because, you know, who knows when this market is, you know, going to actually find its bottom. We may have already seen it, maybe not. We don't know. But the key is you don't want to try to pick the bottom. You want to stay invested with long-term money that's properly diversified so that as the market recovers, once it's clear that we're either not going to have a recession or we're beyond it or we'll get beyond it and the Fed's done raising interest rates, boy, the trillions literally on the sideline of this market are going to be an incredible force to drive it higher at some point, I think, next year. And so you want to be invested when that happens. But, you know, the process of rolling it out to an IRA is probably a two-week event where the assets would be liquidated. It would come over as a rollover in the form of cash. And as long as you were ready to redeploy that money, Raj, I'd be comfortable with you going ahead and doing that. But if you are going to have an advisor manage that for you, I'd go ahead and have that relationship in place, have that advisor open the account so that as that money hits, it can be, you know, moved into the market pretty quickly. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. The only concern I thought, like, because anyway, the mutual funds in which my previous fund management has invested is already down. I thought, like, you know, because I had liquidated the funds, basically, I'm, you know, there is no way that I'm going to or maybe I have to look for similar funds, right?
It's less about similar funds. And I mean, you could actually theoretically buy the same funds, but I think it's the strategy. So, for instance, if you're 70% in stocks and 30% in bonds, you would probably want to either yourself or your advisor, assuming that's the right allocation moving forward, have a similar investment strategy when you get to the IRA so that you have the benefit of recapturing the growth in the stock market. I think it's less about the actual funds you have and more about the allocation and the strategy that's consistent with what you have today and also with your goals and objectives. And I would be confident that if you redeploy that similar investment allocation, that you'd still be able to capture the upside of the market as it moves higher, even though you may be in different funds.
You got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you. Appreciate
Very
it.
Good. Absolutely. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let me just weigh in quickly today. We've had a lot of folks that call us from time to time wanting to know about the benefits of financial unity in marriage. You know, they're struggling with arguments about money and really, how they move forward together with unity. And I think this is so critical. And it's why we talk a lot here on the program about joining your finances as you enter into marriage and planning for that as an engaged couple to be ready for that so that you've talked through what lifestyle do we want in marriage? What are we going to do about our generosity and our giving? Who's going to be the one to actually write the checks or manage the finances electronically? You know, making all those decisions in advance are really going to go a long way toward helping you be prepared to have unity in marriage. Well, there are incredible benefits, and it's why we should pursue financial unity as a priority. You know, unity is God's will for the church, and marriage is supposed to be a reflection of Christ's relationship with his people. We realize life is a lot more satisfying when we're working together. Unity is a priority because you made a promise. Now, you may disagree with your spouse about the family finances, but remember why you're together in the first place. And we need to fulfill that promise by working together before God to strive for unity, even when we disagree on any issue, and that includes money issues. You know, it builds virtues that keep a strong marriage when we have financial unity, including love and trust and patience and generosity and self-sacrifice and forgiveness. When we live these virtues out together, our relationship rises above these petty disagreements. And finally, it's a witness when we have financial unity. Believe it or not, the way you handle your finances as a couple can demonstrate the hope of Christ to people who don't know him. Your loving attitude toward each other and your generosity and integrity as a couple can have a huge impact on the world around you. So just realize that unity between husband and wife is a source of blessing, especially when it comes to the family finances. It takes determination and persistence to achieve, but it's worth it. And more important, it takes a desire on both sides for Jesus to be at the center of your married life. Without him, true unity is impossible. We appreciate you asking about money and marriage so often, and I hope that was an encouragement to you as you think about how you can pursue that in your own marriage. I promise you it will be worth it. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. We had some calls come in right there at the end. Joe and Lisa, I apologize we didn't get to you today. If you stay on the line, our team will get your information and we can call you back tomorrow and perhaps get you on first on the program. We'd love to be able to tackle your questions today, and we're grateful that you called the program. Again, stay right there. We'll get your information and get right back out to you. Folks, as we apply biblical truth to our financial decisions and choices, here's the key. We want to pursue God's heart. We want to understand his wisdom and how we can apply it to our finances. And when we do, although we'll have setbacks along the way, we'll put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. And that's what we're after here on this program. Let me say thanks to my team today. Pat Montague doing an incredible job handling our phones today. Mr. Jim Henry providing research. And our producer today, Mr. Devin Patrick. Grateful for that team that makes this happen every day. Thanks for being along with us today. I hope you have a great rest of your afternoon and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.